Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice. Oh, hi, it's the HBO boys. This is a Cowboy Bebop episode, so we're going to be doing a lot of sarcastic quips.
Bop-de-bop.
I'm Jameson Adam. This is the fabled James Adam pod.
I know. This is the first of its kind, honestly. I've always been sidekicked with Ryan.
This will be a good... first of all, there's no sidekick, really. This is a partnership, an equal partnership for this pod.
And sure.
This will be a good dynamic because I am a huge fan of the original Cowboy Bebop anime. We're talking about the Netflix adaptation, by the way. And Adam is not. And so that'll be an interesting perspective, an anime watcher and a non-anime watcher.
Well, let's make this clear. It's not that I'm not a fan. It's just I just straight up have never seen it. Mm-hmm. I remember... when we were in high school, you guys watching this, as I was friends with you and several others of our friends watched the show, and I never watched it. I kind of knew what it was, but again, completely oblivious to this whole show until I watched the Netflix one.
And the other thing that'll make this an interesting dynamic is that Adam has generally a positive disposition and likes to like things, whereas I am a hateful person.
likes things. No one likes you, or no one, you don't like anything?
Both.
Okay, gotcha. Just wanted to be clear on that.
My history with Cowboy Bebop, interestingly, like, I was a huge fucking Toonami Adult Swim nerd.
Yeah, soon. No, not here.
And then, actually, my older brother, who was very much not that, was like, you have to check out this show, Cowboy Bebop.
And oh.
Up until then, like, my main relationship to anime was, like, Dragon Ball Z and the like. Which is one thing, and this is very different, and it was sort of an introduction into, oh, this can actually be a higher art form. It's not just, like, muscly dudes grunting at each other and shooting laser beams from their hands, which is what I enjoy, but, oh, there's something else.
Yeah, I don't watch anime. No. I think that's pretty clear. However, I have seen like Akira, and I like Akira, but I don't really remember it because it was so long ago, and I just never adapted to that style of show. I thought, I don't know what it was about it, because all of my friends watched it. You would think I would get on board with it, but it just wasn't my thing. I don't know. I tried multiple times.
No, I get it. And if there's genres of anime that even I have taken swings at and cannot get into that are insanely
like what?
Popular. There's a huge genre of anime which is just like a kids having fun in school. It's just, they call it slice of life, and it's just kids doing normal shit and having silly, wacky times at school. Every couple of years, there's like a huge one of those anime, and I watch the first couple episodes, and I'm like, who the fuck likes this?
It sounds like that game where you just like cook food. What's that game?
Cooking
it came out
Mama?
For PlayStation. I don't know. it's just like a game that you just do a mundane task. And like, who buys that?
Okay, but Cowboy Bebop, though, this is the Netflix adaptation. It just dropped 10 episodes. They're all an hour long. I mean, before we talk about anything else, an hour long, 10 episodes, so 10 hours in the first season, and the original show was 26 or 25, 22-minute episodes, so you're looking at maybe like 12 hours there. So already the Netflix adaptation's like poised to lap it. Did you ever watch the Marvel Netflix shows, Daredevil, Luke Cage?
I didn't watch Daredevil. I watched Luke Cage. I watched Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm.
And much like our wonderful MCU shows that we were reviewed in the past, they were just lackluster to me. I think I liked them better. I liked them better than some of the MCU shows that came out, especially What If. What If could just suck a bag of dicks.
The thing is, I didn't hate any of the Netflix Marvel shows, and neither did I love them. They were all way too long first of all.
Yeah, yes.
They also had hour-long episodes, but they were 13 episodes long.
And like, no, there it's a lot of time.
So much, like, padding in them.
Oh, I think I wonder why I like them is maybe because it was outside of our MCU norm.
Mm-hmm.
It was new characters. It was violent. It was violent. Yes, like Iron Fist and Luke Cage, very violent. I didn't watch Jessica Jones. I've been told to watch Jessica Jones, but I just haven't done that yet.
So the showrunner for Netflix Cowboy Bebop is a dude by the name of Andre Nemec.
Yes.
And he is the screenwriter of such cinematic masterpieces as the Michael Bay Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and wonderful. Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Okay.
So obviously when they were putting together Netflix Cowboy Bebop, they were like, I need the Beverly Hills Cop 4 guy.
Yeah, get for him. Sure. And he was the director? Wait, is that what you said? The director of the screen?
He's the showrunner.
Oh, okay.
The head writer is Christopher Yost, yeah. Who actually a bit better of a pedigree here. He co-wrote Thor Ragnarok.
Great. So
and
good.
And also co-wrote Thor the Dark World.
So bad.
And The Mandalorian.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll take it. Clearly he's better with TV shows. Maybe. I don't know. Ragnarok was great. Ragnarok was so good.
So again, it's a bit of a mixed bag here with the pedigree of the show. The acting, I think, is more interesting here, though. So you've got Mustafa Shakir, who was in Luke Cage Season 2 as the villain, playing Jet. He was my favorite of the main cast so far. We're only talking about the first two episodes today, so I don't know. Maybe it'll change. And then John Cho as Spike. I like John Cho basically in everything I've seen him in. He's good in Star Trek, and he's Harold and Kumar, and
yeah, he's Harold and Kumar. That's his claim to fame, really.
Did you see the one where it's like a murder mystery, but all on the computer, starring John Cho?
No, what is that?
Searching.
What is it?
Searching. So it's a movie about a dad whose daughter goes missing, and he takes it upon himself to try to like head up the search to recover her. But it all takes place from the perspective of his computer.
Weird.
It sounds weird. It's really good. And you watch that movie, okay. And you're like, oh shit, John Cho is a leading man.
When did that come out?
That was 2018.
2018. Wow. Interesting. So I like him. Now, again, I've never seen the anime, but I've seen pictures of it. Obviously, I've seen images of the characters. I think that they did a good job casting this show live action. John Cho looks just like him.
Yes.
And so does this
props
Mustafar
to
guy.
Hair and makeup for everyone. And I honestly, when he was first announced, I was like, that is good casting. For the longest time, everyone was like Keanu Reeves as Spike. And Keanu Reeves wanted to play Spike. And
what?
Keanu Reeves spent years trying to make this happen and could not.
What?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, Keanu Reeves loves the anime and tried for the longest time to get a movie made and could not.
And then they shafted him and he's just John Wick now.
Right. Well, people are like, oh, John Cho's too old. If John Cho's too old to be Spike, then like certainly Keanu Reeves is way too old to be Spike.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, props to hair and makeup, you know?
Yes.
They can do wonders.
The other star of the show is Daniela Pineda, who I don't know that well. She's in Jurassic World, I guess.
She is? Oh, yeah, she is in Jurassic World, yeah.
I kind of like her because if you watch interviews with her, which I've been doing up till the Netflix show dropped, she's funny and personable and apparently like a huge stoner, so I like that about her.
Right on.
And those are your three main characters, and they're all in terms of like, so I mean, my problems with this show are mostly on the writing side, but in terms of performance, I think Mustafa as Jet and Daniela as Faye, interestingly, you haven't seen the anime, they're doing performances which are pretty good, like, impressions of the English voice actors from the anime, who are now,
really?
Like, those are quite iconic roles. They're both doing, like, not one-to-one, like, imitations, but, like, pretty good their own versions of that. Like, Jet sounds like Jet, Faye sounds like Faye, in terms of the tenor and tone of the voice, not in the more literary sense of the voice. They don't speak like those characters, but they sound like them in your ears.
It's funny that you say that, because as I was watching this show, the way they delivered lines was very animated in and of itself. Like, yeah. It's like they... You can tell it's based off of, like, an over-the-top kind of crazy animated show. Like, if you didn't know it and said, oh, yeah, this is based off an animated show, I could make the connection for sure. It's just the way they delivered the line was just... It was just overzealous and kind of... I mean, that character, Faye, is kind of crazy anyway. But right. I think it suits it well. I think it works pretty well. And then you made a comment about how John Cho talked too much for Spike's character. Now, again, I don't know. Yeah. But I thought that he was good. I kind of like that he's a little cocky. You know, I don't know. I like that.
Well, and before we get into a big critical analysis, we can just talk, since we're going to do this episode by episode. Let's just get into it. There's not too much to say. Yeah, not a ton happened in either episode. Well, right. The second episode a little more. But the first episode begins with Jet and Spike foiling a casino heist. And this is very highly inspired by the intro of the Cowboy Bebop movie, which is a separate thing from the film. And they foil the heist of a convenience store. But the setup is quite the same. Spike goes in first, and then Jet, and then there's a dude in the toilet who kind of foils the plans. And I liked this scene in the show.
I liked it a lot.
They blow a hole in the space station, and then you zoom out and see, like, oh, this is not even standing on the ground anywhere. This is, like, the basement floor of a space station.
Yep.
That shit looked great.
Yeah, that one caught me off guard for sure. I thought it was just like, I knew it took place in space or, like, you know, interplanetary at the very minimum, but I didn't know it was going to be a floating in the ethereal space casino. So I liked that. I liked that it kind of took you by surprise if you didn't see it coming.
And then the other thing that struck me as, like, very different from the anime is, like, the level of violence. Because, like, the anime is a little bit violent, but, like, Jet and Spike, you know, it's mostly, like, it's like G.I. Joe violence, where, like, you yeah. punch somebody in the head, you kick them, and then they're knocked out. Or, you know, they explode off screen, right? But in this show, they're shooting people in the face and stuff. And
yeah,
stabbing
they were
them in
straight
the heart with knives.
Yeah, they were straight dead-shotting them. Like, that one took me by surprise too, when Spike, like, literally headshotted these guys. Like, I didn't think it was going to be that intense. I didn't, because I kind of knew a little bit that he was this low-key dude in the anime, and then to see him kind of explode a little bit was neat, but... Again, I like how it's going so far. I like how it's a little extravagant.
Well, that was one thing that, you know, in the anime, Spike and Jet are, like, pretty explicitly, like, good guys. Like, yes, there's an amoral tint to, like, being a bounty hunter in the first place and hurting people for money, right? But, like, they really seem to take care to, like, minimize casualties and not just like merc people. Okay, maybe it's more realistic that, like, if you were in a shootout, you would have to, you know, kill people to survive, I guess.
Right.
But it is slightly less heroic.
You know,
that's why you don't see Captain America and Iron Man, like, shooting people in the face. With
right.
Because then it's hard to be like, that's the hero.
Yeah. You know, maybe killed one person the whole time.
So the rest of the episode very closely follows the first episode of Cowboy Bebop, except that Faye is in it, is the only main difference. There's a dude, he steals drugs from the Red Dragon Syndicate, which is a Chinese mafia syndicate from Mars.
From Mars. Good.
And they're on the lam, him and his girlfriend. They try to do a drug deal. It goes wrong. The syndicate shows up, but he slaughters them all because he's taking the red eye drug. Which
that red eye drug was epic. That scene was good too. I liked that. See, I'm a Tarantino fan too, so I like gore and violence, not in like a weird way, but like I like that type of kind of. I don't even know how to describe it.
The anime is a little bit violent too, and that scene played out quite similar, where it's like a first person perspective. On the drug, murdering people.
Yeah, very cool.
And I thought they did a pretty good job of translating that. Meanwhile, he's got his pregnant girlfriend, this thief does, and the two of them survive the shootout and leave. They're the big bounty that Jet and Spike are after. There's a strange thing. They turn in their bounty from the first scene, and Jet meets some cop he used to know back from when he was a cop, and they don't like each other, and he's like, "You're fucking my ex-wife."
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
He's like, "Yes, but because I'm fucking her, I will give you this lead for a bounty." Thanks,
what a way to seal the deal. And that guy who played that that cop was familiar too. Did you happen to catch who it was? He was kind of familiar to me, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
Jeff Stoltz.
Oh yes.
From
He was in this is gonna drive me nuts. I think he was. Yes, he was in The Breakup. I remember that. Yes. Okay. So I was trying to remember. It was some Vince Vaughn movie.
Yeah.
It was the Breakup. I must have watched it recently. But yeah,
he was also in Stargirl, which is a show I was going to do a recap and review for. Watched one episode for, and then never followed up on.
Never looked back. Wasn't good, huh?
So that's interesting. They've changed Jet's backstory. He is now a divorcee and an absentee father, which to me is a very weak motivation. In this and the next episode, he's like, "No, Spike, we have to put our lives on line and hurt and kill people because we need this bounty. Otherwise, my daughter might have a bad birthday."
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And I was like, damn, the stakes have never been higher.
I mean, you got to take care of the daughter.
That was never a thing in the anime. What, they're just like struggling to get by. They're just doing this for the money because otherwise, like, they'll starve. You know.
Yeah.
There was no need.
They alluded to that too in the show a little bit, where he's like, this bounty barely put food on the table here. There's enough money for the freaking gas or whatever it was.
So they're going after this dangerous drug thief. And Spike doesn't want to do it because there's the syndicate's involved. He robbed the syndicate. And he's like, "We made a deal. We're not going to get involved with the syndicate." And again, Jet's like, "But my daughter's birthday."
It's her birthday. She must have a pony.
So they go after the bounty. Eventually they do. They find this couple. He's getting. So he's been shot a bunch of times. And there's like a doc in the box doctor working on him. While he holds a gun to her head. Just like, you probably want the doctor to be more relaxed.
Yeah, right. You can see she's like shaking, stitching him up with that laser.
Meanwhile, the girlfriend also has a bounty on her head because she's the rich heiress to some family fortune. And so Faye is after her, which causes there to be a bit of a conflict here between Faye and Spike meeting for the first time. He's after the man, she's after the woman. Because they're both angry hotheads. They can't work this out. And while they're fighting, the two get away.
Right.
And so again, I think in terms of like doing an impression of the voice actor from the anime, I like Daniela Pineda's performance. And I think she also looks good as Faye.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
There was a controversy among virgin fanboys of the anime that they changed Faye's costume, that she doesn't
had so many boobs,
right? And they took the boobs away.
Yeah, what the hell?
And ruined the anime that way. But no, I don't care about that. I think she looks good. I think I've seen women cosplay as Faye, and yeah, it's a sexy outfit. But if you saw a person dressed like that in real life, you would think, like, is this like a police sting? Like, is she an undercover cop waiting for someone to solicit her? Because that is not a normal way to walk around.
Right.
And like, there's even episodes where like Faye is on a planet that's like extremely cold and she's like still dressed that way. Like,
oh my God.
Again, perhaps it works in the anime. It's stylistic, right? In real life, it would look weird. And so this goes down exactly as it did in the anime. There's like a spaceship car chase between Spike and the dude and his girlfriend. And sorry. Before that, they add like a shootout scene at the space hangar.
Oh, yes. And, where the mechanics were working on that space flight car thing.
And the syndicate shows up and he sees Spike and he's like, it's you, fearless.
Fearless.
I thought you were dead.
Now, can you fill me in on that? Because I don't think they expanded a lot on that. Until episode two, they kind of talked a little bit about it.
This is new show only.
Okay.
And I as my assumption, unless we're later going to find out there's something deeper to this, or that Spike's mother named him Fearless, is that when you're in the Red Dragon Mafia, you get a mafia nickname. That's what I always assumed watching the anime, that like Vicious's mother did not name him Vicious.
Right,
that once he became a capo or whatever in the mafia, they give you a nickname. And so nothing like that was ever intimated about Spike in the anime, but I guess in the show, they're implying that like Spike had a mafia nickname as well, which was Fearless.
I thought
this was pretty strange. You don't need to go so far to explain why people call Vicious Vicious. You just take that for granted. It reminded me of in Star Wars, A Solo Story, when he's like, I'm Han. What's your last name? Who are your people? Oh, no, it's just me. Okay, Han Solo. Wink to the audience. That's what it reminded me of. Again, I guess they're trying to explain why people call Vicious Vicious, but like, I think everyone already assumed that was not his real name.
Right. But it was just, I wanted to, during this show, I wanted to know where it came from. Like, because he was Spike, but you know, everyone calls him Spike. But then, oh, it's Fearless. I'm like, Seth, is that Spike?
Well, that, I guess Spike Spiegel is an assumed name.
Yeah.
To hide his identity as Fearless, which is
Fearless.
Another assumed name.
Yeah, okay. What's his real fucking name?
Right.
It's so then, Fearless Bebop.
Right. So then they have the car chase, but with spaceships. And there's no hope for the bounties. They get like gunned down by the cops. This is exactly what happens in the anime, but it was looked better in the anime.
Wow.
It did.
Are you talking straight up visually it looked better?
Just visually it was more, also like when they gunned down this couple in the anime, it was only then when her corpse was like floating in space that the red eye spilled out of her. And you realize, oh, she's not even pregnant. That was just
where they were. See that I do like better.
Yeah,
I like the kind of hesitation on it because
it's a reveal then.
They gave it away
too
reveal.
Quick in the
yes. I agree. Now that I know that happened for sure. Yeah, but so it still was a surprising reveal when it happened. It would have been way more effective if they did it like you said.
Yeah. Okay. And that episode one is the end. Jet and Spike did not get paid this time. It is not stated, but we can assume that Jet's daughter had a bad birthday.
Yeah, bad birthday.
She didn't get what she wanted. And two people are dead.
because of her. Two people are dead because of her.
Right. And her birthday was bad. So like, really, there was
three. Yeah. Now, before you move on to the next one, I do want to point out a couple of things about this show that I really, really like.
Yeah.
Okay, I really like the whole stylistic way that it's filmed. Yeah. I love the 70s, like almost like this jazzy fusion look.
Right.
And all the graphics are very retro. I think that's very cool. I don't know if that's the same in the anime. I assume it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The aesthetic is kind of true to the anime, and it looks really cool the way they've done it here. Like you said, there's some interesting shots, like when Spike's talking to that cop that he hates.
Yes.
The way it's framed, like they're both just like their faces are like kind of coming on the screen and see the background. That was an interesting shot. I thought they should do more of that because a lot of the dialogue.
I hope that they do.
Some of the scenes of dialogue, it was just shot, reverse shot in kind of a boring way. But then other shots are really interesting.
Yeah. So the styling of it, of the way it was filmed, is very high contrast, a lot of close up macros, very colorful, but muted still. Like you could tell it's very grungy, but it was so vibrant at the same time. Yeah. Like when they were on that, what did they call it? Little Tijuana or something? New Tijuana, old Tijuana, whatever. Right. And the crooked angles were just so, it was just interesting. I've never seen
Dutch
a show
angles.
Film like that. Yes. Yes.
like Battlefield Earth.
Yeah, but better. But, it was good. I liked that. And there was a ton of static scenes that made it feel like you're watching a storyboard, you know? It made it feel like it was trying to replicate that kind of animation style where there's little movement on the screen as possible so you can catch all this detail. And I hope they continue doing it. Obviously, there's tracking shots and you know, moving shots, but it's noticeable if you're looking for it.
The music is also amazing.
The music is so freaking good. It's so freaking good.
They got same composer, Yoko Kanno, and her jazz rock band, The Seatbelts, to do all the music. They did all the music for the anime, and they killed
it. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. So, visually, it looks great. It sounds really good. I think they did a good job. But there's one thing that I do not like so far, and it's the fight scenes. The fight scenes were straight up bad. They looked very clunky. But they're still over the top, which I appreciate. But just the fight scenes they weren't believable. It felt like they were choreographed.
I liked the, you know, again, the car chase with the spaceships. It was better in the anime, but it looked pretty good in the show too. I liked
better
that
in
more
the anime.
Than the fight scenes. Okay, I agree with you. Those are all good things.
Yeah.
My issues with this show, in terms of an adaptation of Cowboy Bebop, which was so tightly written,
right,
which included like almost no pointless dialogue, is that like this show to me, what it reminds me of, it's like a person on a first date who's terrified of like silence. Right. And so I have to fill all of the silence with whatever shit pops into my head. And that's what the dialogue in this show reminds me of. Nothing ever just happens. Nothing is ever just explained. It has to be explained in quips and with jokes. And it really jumped out at me in the very beginning of episode one when like the thief is doing the drug deal with the red eye. And the guy, the buyer, is like, I need you to take a sample of it to make sure that it's pure. Which, God. Like, this is a dangerous drug here. So this is a serious situation. And
I did think that was weird.
We eat cupcakes.
I did think that was weird. And he's
like, cupcakes? Yes, everyone loved cupcakes. And I was like, okay. So as a writer, you have to make a decision here. Is the joke that I've written good enough that it is worth ruining the tone I'm going for in this scene? Right? And everyone loves cupcakes, I don't think was good enough, even in a Russian accent.
Yeah. So what I think this is doing, and I told Ryan this when I was talking to him, it's they're going to capture the anime customers. They're going they're going to capture the anime fans.
Yeah.
But what this is doing is it's opening it up for the mainstream. Now you got to remember the mainstream nowadays is Marvel comedy, is silly, sometimes unnecessary comedy. And I think it's just trying to go up with that and introduce it to a different sect of people.
Right. And we saw the effect that that had on like The Last Jedi and Rise of the Skywalker, where they were like, okay, maybe, you know, the first movie wasn't funny enough. Get me the Marvel jokes, guys, and we'll just overload this shit into the next two movies. And they've done it here as well. And maybe it's just that it's not my style. And if it's your style, then it won't bother you, listener. But if it's not your style, it might.
But, okay, so this is something I said, too, is that I probably would have never watched this show had it not been made into this show that we're watching now. I just would have not watched the anime. So for the writing being not as good as the anime, but opening me up to this whole new world of characters, that's the trade-off, I think, for certain audiences. And I like it so far, but I can appreciate why people don't like it, because the source material is better in some ways to them.
Right. And I think the issue which you're describing, it's not, as you said, it's not just this show. We're having a cultural moment now where everyone talks like they're in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. No matter what show you're watching or movie you're watching, the characters all talk like this. That's just how it is. But I don't think it works so well. Again, like I said in the chat, if this were Firefly season 2, or if this were a second, which again, written by Joss Whedon, or if this were a new IP called like Space Cowboys or something, I would probably like it much better. But because it's Cowboy Bebop and because it's the same characters, I'm like constantly comparing it in my head. And there's shit that like just jumps out to me as wrong, right? And okay, maybe they're separate stories, separate universes. This is on me. I should be able to make that connection there. But like, just things that jumped out at me, the show is extremely campy on purpose. Netflix Cowboy Bebop is campy on purpose. This isn't an accident. This is a deliberate decision that they've made. But I wonder like if they kind of misunderstood the anime, because like the anime is not campy on purpose. It's not like winking at the audience. The anime is playing it straight. It thinks this shit is cool inherently. Not that it needs to be campy, not that it needs to be winking as a joke. Same thing with, like, you mentioned Tarantino, or, like, the movie Sin City. You might describe Tarantino's movies, or you might describe Sin City as camp, but I don't think that's what he or that movie are going for either. They're not making a joke out of these genres and tropes. They like them.
No, not
they
at all.
They think they're cool.
Yes, straight up. Mm-hmm. I agree.
But this show treats it as camp.
I wonder if they're afraid. I wonder if they're afraid because it's such.
That's exactly what I wrote here.
I wonder if they're afraid because it's such a huge, it was such a massive show to the anime genre that they're afraid to do it injustice, and then in turn is doing it a little injustice, you know?
Right. As the Bible says,
double-edged sword.
No man can serve two masters, right? And like you said, they're trying to please me and they're trying to please you.
And in
that pursuit, they might not please either of us. And another thing that I wonder that they're afraid about is like, so they've really changed Faye a lot. Faye is no longer a too cool for school, like femme fatale archetype, like she was in the anime. Now she's a quirky, quippy, short-tempered. She's Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and that's a different archetype. They're both archetypes. You can argue, which one's better or whatever. But I just wondered, were they too afraid to commit to the femme fatale thing? They're like, oh, that's played out. That's cliche.
Right.
Our Faye will be a modern vampire slayer. And that was my thought. I'm like, okay, so you're changing Faye, and I don't know why. My guess is that you think that she was a cliched character, but you're replacing her with another cliche.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's kind of like recycled, like a lot, and I'm a Marvel fan. I'll be the first to tell you, I love the movies. I love most of the shows. I'm a huge fan. It could be the worst one and I'll still like it, but it's some of it is starting to get recycled. And now this is taking some of that recycled stuff and putting it into a whole new IP,
Right.
So it's interesting how the business affects different shows, but it affects it in the same way.
So in terms of Spike, they also changed him a lot as well. I think, honestly, one of my main issues with these three main characters is that I think Spike and Faye are a little too similar in in temperament, in the jokes that they make, in the things that they do. Spike and Faye in the Netflix show are kind of a little too samey. And
do they get together in the show?
No.
Okay, so the first thing I thought of is there's a little tension here.
There's maybe tension in the anime too. You maybe get the sense that Faye would be open to that, but Spike is a completely ruined and damaged person.
fair enough.
Again, in terms of changing the characters, it's one thing to have Jet and Spike just murking people left and right. It is another thing. This scene straight up disturbed me when Jet was Spike, you're not supposed to kill that guy. And Spike's yeah, you're right, Jet, but did you see the look on his face right before I killed him? And Spike's yeah, that was pretty good.
That's
some psycho shit.
That is psychotic. That's what it is. And he's not psychotic in the anime show.
No, they're the good guys.
He's very cool and collected.
Not only are they good guys, and not only are they in their own way kind of kind, they're also pretty careful. Especially Jet is a lawful good character who is trying to not hurt innocent people and trying to minimize casualties. Spike is maybe a little bit less concerned with that, but also Spike is a good guy.
Right.
And a nice guy.
Maybe they'll get there, throughout the show.
Because the characters in the anime don't really go on arcs. They go on arcs of discovery, not really arcs of change. And Spike had his arc off screen. And we're going to kind of gloss over what happens in the second episode because it's not as important and we're going kind of long here already. But Spike's big changes happened before the events of the show where he was a mafia enforcer in the Red Dragon. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to leave because he wanted to be with Julia. And when he tried to leave, him and Julia got Julia got basically kidnapped by Vicious. He's like, you're not leaving. You're my prisoner now. And Spike got gangland hit. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only then that Spike was like, oh, maybe being in the mafia is wrong because this feels bad what happened to me. maybe I've been doing a bad thing all this time and decides to be a more conscientious person. And that's where he is when the show begins. But it doesn't seem like if he's internalized that lesson in the Netflix show.
But he keeps having these incredibly sexy flashbacks to his time with what's her name? Julia. With his time with Julia and the Red Rose and all that stuff.
Her name is Julia, by the way.
I do not.
So all the episodes of the anime are named after classic rock songs. And of course, several of the characters are as well. And so her name is Julia because of Julia, the Beatles song.
Yeah. Speaking of the Beatles, you should watch that documentary on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah. It looks good.
Yeah, it's very good. Anyway, I could go on about that, but go on.
In the second episode, it is more of a monster of the week episode. It's the teddy bear bomber, which is a thing from the anime. It happens much later in the show, but whatever, do it here. It doesn't matter.
time doesn't matter. It's going to change. Maybe this will change.
The bounty itself is kind of interesting. They track him down on Venus. We get to see the bounty hunter posting TV show.
I love it.
Which
I
is
love
from
the
anime.
Whole flair. It's so good.
Punch and Judy are the hosts of Big Shot, which is the show where they talk about Bunny. And this is the one thing they got perfectly. It looks exactly like it did in the show. Punch and Judy are great. Punch steps on one of Judy's lines at the end and then she rolls her eyes like, that got a laugh out of me. You did it. You did it. Fake Joss Whedon. You got me.
I love it. I love all the little propaganda things that show in this show. It's so the world is so well built. It really is.
So meanwhile, while they're going after the teddy bear bomber, Spike is also establishing a bit of his backstory here. like he goes to see an information broker that he used to know when he was in the mob named Anna. This is a character from the show that's completely different. Working for is Gren, who is a character from the show, but again, completely different. There's no, almost nothing. There's nothing but daylight between those two versions. It's really
wow
to compare them. I'm not annoyed by that. Those characters were minor in the show. It's okay. Change them. It's fine. Okay.
See, I want to know how this affects you, James.
Spike wants to know if the mafia is after him. But I'm like, but don't you know that already? Like, why are you just double checking? Anyway, it's a good excuse for them to exposit. She's like, Fearless, I thought you were dead. And he's like, I'm Spike Spiegel now. And
that's right. I remember
that. Please find out if the mafia has tried. The mafia just tried to kill me, and so I want to know if they're trying to kill me. I swear to God, that was the point of this scene. A mafia assassin just tried to kill me. Please find out if the mafia is trying to kill me.
No, they're not.
Yeah, got the test results back. Looks like that was just a random mugging.
just happened to be a member of the mafia.
So... there's also the narrative tension in this episode is that Jet, like Spike's long-suffering wife, wants Spike to open up about his feelings and his past. Like that's, and Spike's like, no, it's personal. And Jet's like, we never talk anymore. Like, that's seriously, like, what's going on? We're partners. You need to open up. And that, okay, strange considering the relationship that they had in the anime, which was that they were very guarded, very professional.
Right.
You get the sense early on, and then you do find out later that they both have like really tragic backstories that they, not shit that you would want to talk to with someone you didn't know that well. And they just didn't really have that relationship throughout the anime. You kind of get the sense that like Spike or Jet cares for Spike and wonders if Spike has his back or cares about him as a friend. And, you know, because Spike is like an enigmatic weirdo, you never really get that sense until like, and again, spoilers for the anime here, at the very end of the anime, before Spike goes off to probably die.
Yeah.
Him and Jet like finally have a frank conversation and share a laugh for the first time.
Oh my God. It took the whole anime to do it.
Right. Cause they just didn't have that kind of relationship. And Spike is not the kind of person that would talk about what happened in the mob or what happened with Julia to anyone, because it's clearly incredibly painful for him. And so again, I was like, okay, Jet, I get that you're trying to be a good friend here, but it also seems like by prying too much, you're maybe being a bad friend to Spike. Like, he doesn't want to talk about it. Leave him alone.
Now, when are we going to see the corgi, James?
When do we see the corgi? Next episode, let's hope.
So, okay, because they showed the corgi in the intro. And I'm like, up. Gorgle.
We need it.
I want it.
What do you want? They catch him in the end. Hopefully they get paid this time. Maybe Jet can send the birthday present now and be like, it got lost in the space mail. Happy birthday.
COVID, I don't know.
The other thing to mention in this episode, and this is the thing in the show that really fucking got my goat. In the anime, you know next to nothing about Julia throughout the entire show. We assume she might even be dead in the anime.
Oh, in the anime you said, okay.
Like, we don't know what's going on with her. We only see her, like, even in less flashbacks than we've gotten in two episodes of the Netflix show, we get in maybe, like, the first 20 episodes of the anime, which is the most of the show. And we see very little of Vicious as well. He's a very enigmatic, very distant figure who's just like, if when he's not on screen, if he's mentioned, it's like in hushed tones or whatever. In the Netflix anime, they've decided to make both Vicious and Julia secondary characters.
Yeah.
And it's at least in these first two episodes, the weakest part of the show, in my opinion. Vicious in the Netflix anime, no longer cool, no longer tough seeming. He literally every moment he's on screen, He looks and sounds and behaves like Lucius Malfoy from the Harry Potter movies. That's all I can think about the whole time.
That's what I thought too. he was Lucius, and I'm like, okay, Lucius Malfoy is a fucking penis. Like,
yes. Lucius Malfoy also a little bitch. Like, not a scary guy.
I know. Oh my God. I'm so glad that you brought that up because I was thinking the same thing.
Right. And so in the anime, again, Lucius. I'm going to call him in Netflix. He's Lucius. In the anime, Vicious is again like a very stoic, very silent character, a complete, total narcissist and psychopath. The only relationship with Julia that he has is that, like, she is his prisoner that he, in a narcissistic way, like, probably thinks he owns her. Right. And probably as a psychopath, like, gets off on the fact that she can't leave and that she hates him. In the Netflix anime, at least here in the second episode, they seem to have some kind of Suicide Squad Joker Harley relationship going on.
Yes. Oh my God.
It's
See,
very
they're taking,
weird to watch.
They're taking from many other things.
Only the best.
The best thing. Suicide Squad.
And so, again, seems like Julia has, like, feelings for Vicious, which is, like, that's really fucked up. Like,
yeah, she loves his white hair and magical wand powers with Voldemort. Oh, wait, that's a different movie. Like,
yeah, and very strange here. Like, we don't really need to get into what happened in their scenes. I didn't like them as they were playing out. But, like, the fact that it's Lucius Malfoy.
Yeah, it really is. and who is the actor that plays this guy? What's his name?
I remember when they first cast him, I was like, this is a bad choice. His name's Alec Hassel, perhaps a distant relative of mine.
yeah, right.
Oh, he's Alex translucent in The Boys, and he's great in The Boys. He's in the first three episodes of The Boys. He's the Invisible Man.
Oh, I haven't watched this show. It's another one I gotta watch. There's so
good.
I know there's so much I gotta watch. But other than that,
I don't really know.
I don't know anything that he's been in, and like I feel like his appearance lends itself well to a stoic bad guy, but clearly not. Clearly not.
And that was the shit. Like, I just want to end on this conversation with Vicious and Julia. It seems like really bad the way they're doing it. It's so hammy and it's so over the top.
I like the over the top. I like that this show is nuts. I like that it's crazy and like there's flying spaceships, but there's also 67 Camaros. You know,
like, it's campy as fuck. And Julia and Vicious are campy.
It is.
They are Suicide Squad, Joker and Harley.
Where's the vat of toxic chemicals?
I hope it's coming. I want Julia and Vicious to be completely Joker-fied by the end of the show.
Oh my God.
And I just want to say that this is maybe a small thing or a stupid thing to even complain about, but like, in a show with such a diverse cast, why did they make Vicious capo in a Chinese mafia and the dude who always carries around a samurai sword? Why did they make him the white guy? Like, I know that's a small thing, but that's what I was thinking about. And like, so now it's like, he's like every like white virgin weeb who carries a samurai sword. Like, that's Vicious is just an anime fan, and that's why he uses a sword and not a gun. It's got
that's
nothing
true.
To do with his background or heritage. He's like that meme of where you see like the incels with the fedora and the samurai sword, and it's like, well, you were going to parties and getting laid, I was studying the blade. That was Vicious.
Does he do the anime run as well?
I hope so. We'll have to see.
God, I won't. Now, if they embrace it that much and he actually does the anime run,
right.
I
or
think
like
it'll
we
be
see
okay.
His office and it's full of like anime figurines.
it'll be all okay.
So again, I didn't hate this. If this were the second season of Firefly, I probably really would have liked it. It's just because I have such an attachment to the anime that I have all these problems. I am going to work on. I'm going to go to the doctor from Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and have the anime erased from my mind.
You
and then
should
we'll see if I like the show better.
You may like it better, but then again, you'll probably still hate it.
I don't hate the show. I hate the writing. I hate the writing on this show. Every problem of this show stems from the writer's room. I think the actors are doing a good job with the exception of Vicious. And I think
they're doing well with what they have, what they know, you know? Can't change the script.
The aesthetic is good. As you said, some of the filmography is good. There's a lot to like here.
There is.
Like, you know, there's probably a lot to like in like fucking Ant-Man and the Wasp or some shit. It's just...
Oh my God. Have you not seen that movie?
I've seen it, yeah.
Okay. I didn't like it. No way. Didn't know.
But maybe, as you said, the show will evolve over time, right?
I hope so.
The anime
for your sake
kind of did, right?
I mean, I like it. I like it. I'm excited for it. I can't wait to keep watching it.
And we will be back next week with episodes 4 and... No.
We're going to skip over three.
That would be good. With episodes 3 and 4 of the Netflix Cowboy Bebop. See you, dream cowboys.
Bops, bebop, bop, bebop, bebop.